Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Judges, and this is chapter 13 today. And there are 25 verses in this chapter. And, of course, we have translations and commentary. And right now, let's all go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint with His Spirit the reading of this word, and also any the commentary that He gives with it. In Lord God, we ask that You open up everyone's spirit or mind also at the same time, because the spirit in us can be there, but our mind can still be occupied with the powers of darkness. And so, Lord, we know that we must flood our mind with the Spirit, the Word of God, in order for us to be able to pull down the strongholds. It's Your Word, Lord, that causes the strongholds of Satan to be pulled down in our minds. And our minds have to be filled with Your Spirit, Your Word, as much as our spirit within. So, Lord, we ask that You fill our minds with Your Word, Your Spirit, Your life, and also our spirits. Let the reading bring forth life in us into our spirits and into our minds, because You tell us in Your Word that we are to defend our minds and to defend our spirits, and we have the entire Word of God to be able to do this. And so we ask that these things will be accomplished, that You'll give us more and more of Yourself in our minds and our inner man, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, and so now let's begin reading in the book of Judges, chapter 13, verse 1, King James Version.
The birth of Samson, Judges, chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son.
Okay, you have to tell me what verse it is, each verse.
Verse 4. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.
He shall begin to deliver Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And Israel was not delivered, actually, completely until the reign of David from the Philistines. So it took that long. So the beginning of the destruction of the Philistines was when Samson, in his last duty for God, was to push down the pillars, and all the people, the Philistines there, in the temple were killed. Okay, and then what?
Verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. 7. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Verse 9. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. 10. And the woman made haste, and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me. that came unto me the other day.
Okay, now we'll do commentary, translation. Chapter 1 through chapter 13, verse 1 through 10.
Again, the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who kept them in subjection for 40 years. 2. In those days, a man named Manoah, from the tribe of Dan, lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. 3. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, "Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son." 4. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden food. 5. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. He will rescue Israel from the Philistines. That was Samson's job. The woman ran and told her husband, "A man of God appeared to me. He was like one of God's angels, terrifying to look at. I didn't ask where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. 7. But he told me, 'You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden food, for your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death. 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about this son who is to be born." 9. God answered his prayer, and the angel of God appeared once again to his wife as she was sitting in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. 10. So she quickly ran and told her husband, "The man who appeared to me the other day is here again."
Okay, now verse 11.
King James Version,
okay.
King James Version, verse 11. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And he said, "I am." 12. And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware." 14. "She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe." 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee." 16. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord." For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name? What when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" 19. So Manoah took a kid with the meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. 20. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. Translations, verse 11. Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, "Are you the man who talked to my wife the other day?" "Yes," he replied, "I am." 12. So Manoah asked him, "When your words come true, what kind of rules should govern the boy's life and work?" 13. The angel of the Lord replied, "Be sure your wife follows the instructions I gave her." 14. She must not eat grapes or raisins, drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, or eat any forbidden food. 15. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please stay here until we can prepare a young goat for you to eat." 16. "I will stay," the angel of the Lord replied, "but I will not eat anything. However, you may prepare a burnt offering as a sacrifice to the Lord." Manoah didn't realize it was the angel of the Lord. 17. Then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? For when all this comes true, we want to honor you." 18. "Why do you ask my name?" the angel of the Lord replied. "You wouldn't understand if I told you." 19. Then Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord. And as Manoah and his wife watched, the Lord did an amazing thing. 20. As the flames from the altar shot up toward the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended in the fire. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell with their faces to the ground. King James Version, verse 21. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." 23. But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these." 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Translations, verse 21. The angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord. And he said to his wife, "We will die, for we have seen God." But his wife said, "If the Lord were going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us this wonderful thing and done these miracles." 24. When her son was born, they named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. 25. And in Mahanaim, Dan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtaol, the Spirit of the Lord began to take hold of him.
All right. Now, that was the chapter 13 of Judges, with the 25 verses, and now we have some translations.
13?
Some commentary, rather.
Chapter 13, 1 through 16. The Lord raised up Samson to deliver Israel from a 40-year period of Philistines' oppressions. Israel entered into another phase of idolatrous worship, as described in chapter 10, verse 6 through 7. The Lord used the Philistines to chasten Israel, just as he does the Vaticanites today to chasten the world of sinners. I'm saying also that people that are backslidden from the Lord, the Vatican is attacking, and they have no relief because the Lord is not answering their prayers because of their sins.
Right, so Satan is guiding the one world government and through the cult in Rome and the media. And that's why you see so many injustices in the world, in government, in the judicial system, and everywhere. And also now God is pouring out his wrath on Indonesia and other places, all the places where it's predominantly Buddhists. 70% of them there are Buddhists, and another 30% are Muslims. Africa, India, all these different places like that. And the Lord promises that he's going to do it, and he's doing it. It's not. It's just really... makes God angry when they call what he's doing, that Mother Nature is doing it. Okay, and then what?
Unlike the other accounts of Israel's apostasy, there is no record of Israel's repentance prior to God's raising up Samson as a deliverer, because they didn't. It is not recorded anyway. Verses 10 through 16 applies to the present Philistines' oppressions. 13 verse 1, the Philistines arrived in Canaan during the invasion of the peoples around 1200 BC. The Israelites accepted their domination, 14 verse 4 and 15 verse 11, until the time of Samuel, 1 Samuel 7, 10 through 14. 13 verse 2, Zorah was a city situated in the lowland of Judea, which was assigned to the tribe of Dan, Joshua 19 verse 41. It marked the point of departure for the Danites when they migrated north, chapter 18, 2, verse 2, 8, and 11. Was barrenness for women of their ability or their inability to have children in Israel was disgrace, 13, verse 5. A Nazarite, devoted or consecrated, was a person who took a vow of consecration to the Lord. The vow included, number 1, abstinency from wine or other intoxicating drinks.
Abstinence, right. You could not drink wine. Cut their hair. Then what?
Or other intoxicating drinks, or anything from a vine. Raisins are made out of grapes also. They are dried grapes. 2, refrain from cutting the hair. And 3, refusing to go near a dead body for a specific period of time, or for a lifetime, as in the case of Samson. Samson began to deliver, but ultimately the Lord completed it. The deliverance counted during Samuel's time, 1 Samuel chapter 7, 10 through verses 10 through 14. And was completed in David's time, 2 Samuel chapter 5, 17, 25, and chapter 8, verse 1. 13, verse 6, man of God, this expression which was used of prophets, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 10, refers to this instance, to the angel of the Lord, verses 3 and 21. Chapter 13, 18, it is wonderful, is an expression meaning beyond understanding. This Hebrew term, which is translated wonderful in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, refers to the coming Messiah. 13 chapter 20, verse 24, Samson's name is related to the Hebrew word for son. Chapter 13 verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to move. The Lord began to empower Samson to deliver Israel. See introduction to Judges, the Holy Spirit at work. Samson was not a judge or deliverer who had led the Israelites against the Philistines. He was a loner. His heroic exploits curtailed Philistines' invasions and consequently helped help the cause of his people.
How old are you?
15.
I think she's doing a great job for 15 years old, isn't she?
Yes.
Say your name.
Ilana.
It's Ilana, 15 years old, reading like a champ here. All right, then what? Okay, let's go. That's very good, yes. Then what else?
Manasseh, Dan, is literally camp of Dan. Chapter 13, 1, verses 1 through 14. The instructions given by the angel to Manoah and his wife are similar to those given to Zechariah and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 15.
You can take the youngest person in the congregation and the Bible even says the least. I'm not saying that you're the least by any means, because you're doing a great job, fantastic job. But anyone that can even read, and you still have to receive the Bible as though it were, because this is spirit and life, as though it were coming from God himself. Like when somebody is talking to you about the words of the Lord, that is the Holy Spirit talking to you. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. So that's like a very supernatural thing when somebody's reading the Bible to you. And it really doesn't even matter if they believe. You know, Alexander Scorby, I don't know whether he believed or not, but when you hear him reading, or when you hear Ilana reading here, or anybody for that matter, the Word of God, it's, you can feel the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so it says you can take the least esteemed in the congregation and judge all things by God's judgment in the Bible. Okay, so let's go.
Luke chapter 1, 5-15. Both sets of parents were commanded to raise their children for special tasks for God. In fact, even these parents' actions before their sons were born were very significant. All parents should be aware of how closely related their own actions and outlook are to the sense of identity each of their children will have an adult. Chapter 13, 20, verses 24 and 14, and chapter 14, verse 4. Samson is living proof that someone can grow up in a godly home under the blessings of the Lord and still have major issues to face. Even the working of the Spirit of God is Samson's life. Did not cause him to do anything, everything that the Lord wanted him to do, because Samson had some blind spots. Foreign women, again, this was of the Lord. He let a foreign woman talk him into giving a secret that he shouldn't have given to anyone else, even though being married to her was of the Lord. Still, he shouldn't have divulged that secret. Fortunately, God used Samson's weakness. He couldn't tolerate a woman's nagging. He would just tell everything to her. But God used Samson to bring glory to himself.
Right, Samson wasn't that patient. When you're defending your soul, your life, your spirit, you have to diligently defend it. You can't let somebody nag you and nag you and nag you to the point that you're worn down. And then you just say, throw your life and your spirit to the wind and the work of God also, and just say, oh, I've had it, you know, I can't go on with this any longer. She just kept nagging him about, you know, what was the secret of his strength. And finally he just threw in the towel and told her, and that was his downfall right there. So not very bright. So you know, the tribulations that were occurring in his life there should have worked patience. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to just let patience have its perfect work. And don't just keep doing what the Lord says to do. And you're not supposed to tell, especially, I mean, you have to really be a trick or a sucker to, you could tell that she didn't love him. That's all she was interested in. She sold him for money. She was greedy and she wanted the money that the Philistines were offering her to get that secret. There's no love there. She's like a mercenary, a barracuda, somebody looking for a buck. Okay? Those are the kind of women you want to... People should investigate, you know, who they're getting married to. Amen?
Amen?
Very careful. Just you observe for a long time before you make the plunge, you know, the big step, right?
Amen.
You seek it out before the Lord. You observe him for a long period of time. Don't make any rash moves. This is your soul, your life, your spirit, and where it's going to spend eternity. And, you know, like Samson, because he didn't have the patience. You have to learn to have patience. He got his eyes gouged out and was put on a treadmill, like a treadmill type thing, going round and round in circles. And he thought it was going to be for the rest of his life. But the Lord allowed him to end his life with all those Philistines in their temple or Dagon, their god, was. Okay, go ahead some more.
Samson did not understand his unhealthy weakness to not tolerate the woman's nagging. A lot of preachers say that Samson had a problem with foreign women. He did not have a problem with them. This was of the Lord.
Yeah, the Bible says that it was of the Lord for him to get married to those Philistine, that Philistine woman, and then also this one here. So that wasn't his problem at all. His problem was that he didn't have patience. Amen?
Amen.
And that he, some of the other things he did, he was not supposed to drink wine. All right? And he went and told how, where his strength lay, and that was in his hair, and she made sure that he got a haircut. And that ended the whole situation. You don't tell him that, okay? Just tell him, look, it's none of your business, all right? It's a secret that God gave me. And if you want to continue with this foolishness, I'm putting you out of the house. Okay? That makes me stronger than Samson, okay? Because I would definitely put somebody like that out of my house. Yeah, Samson was a wimp. Now, Samson was extremely, you know, physically strong from time to time whenever the Spirit of the Lord had come down him, but he was very weak when it came to the fairer sex, the women. Okay, go ahead.
Many people struggle with having problems with foreign women today, but that was not Samson's problem. So God will provide us with an abundant life if we are willing to give up or avoid these different faults. If we have a tongue that just can't be still, but we're able to tolerate a nagging wife or anything that nags us, this trait, this particular problem, is different from one person to the next. People have to ask God for help with their problems.
Some guys, you know, their wives are nags like that. They go hunting for weeks, or they go golfing. Me, I just lock myself in my bedroom. And I do tapes and things like that. Amen? Mm-hmm. Or get a hold of the Lord, you know? So, and if you have a nagging wife, well, that's of the Lord, because the Lord always gives you what you're, or builds an atmosphere around you that you really need, something that's abrasive to toughen you up, to make you be able to be stronger in the spirit, to tolerate, to build your patience up. The Lord even tells you not to be bitter against your wife, and sometimes I understand very well why he put that in there. It's good instructions, amen?
Yeah.
So the point is that that you just, there's ways to get away from them. Go in your bedroom and lock it up. And tell her to go to her room. Okay, then what?
Most people know what they are, but the devil will do everything he can to disguise the problems. Only when we ask God will he help us.
We have to ask the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord asked us questions. He asked Peter, who do men say that I am? Amen?
Amen.
Or he asked all his disciples that. And Peter said, thou art the what?
The Christ.
The Christ. The Son of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we can read that scripture because, you know, it says, show how Jesus talks to people, and the Holy Spirit talks to people, the Father talks to people. Can you read that?
Yes.
Yeah, tell them where you're at.
Matthew chapter 16, starting on verse 16.
Chapter 15?
Chapter 16.
Chapter 16, verses what?
15 to 17.
15, 16, and 17. Have you found... Let's give everybody a little chance to find it in their Bibles. Has everybody got it?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and read it.
He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Who revealed that to him? Was it Jesus? No, it was his Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
My Father in heaven revealed that to you. So the Holy Spirit talked to Jesus because he was a human being that had the Spirit of God in him, just like you do, and I do, and all these gifts that are given to us after we're saved, all gifts are given unto us. And I'll prove that to you. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Just a little interruption here in this chapter 13 of Judges in the commentary department. Okay, go ahead.
Ephesians
chapter 1. Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
All right, then what?
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God.
See, it was God's will. God told him. He appeared to him, and the Lord Jesus Christ had already ascended, and he was now one with God, and so it was God. So God called him, amen?
Amen.
So God talks, amen?
Amen.
And we're supposed to talk to God. You know, if you really believe in him, then you're going to set aside time every day to speak to the Lord, okay, in order to have his power and to gain communication with him, okay? And then what?
To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Okay, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and he says to the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Lord said that he lives in us while we're in this world, and we also live in him because we're sitting in heavenly places with him. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're his temple here, and we have a place that is not built by hands that we live in also, that is our eternal home, and that is the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He sits on the throne in heavenly places. So we are all these, this gift is given to us the minute that we say, yes, Lord, come into my heart, wash me, cleanse me, make me completely whole, and make me a saved human being, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And we are able to talk to the Lord, and the Lord is able to talk to us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the Lord wants an ear that wants to hear from him. That he knows if your ear is with him, so is your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 2. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father.
Grace, that means power be unto you. And when you've delivered your entire soul over to the Lord, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, then you have the peace in this world that is full of turmoil. All right? And so you've got all this peace because you know that you're saved no matter what happens. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, from God, from who and the who?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, okay.
Verse 3.
From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying God and Father, and then it says, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it shows that Jesus was a human that had God in him. And if you're born again of the Spirit, you also are a human and you have God in you, which makes us God men and women.
Amen.
All right? And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe who you are. Because God has poured himself into you when you came unto him, and now he wants you to know who you are. It says that we have become now the sons of God, members of his body. Amen?
Amen.
So if you don't know who you are, if you don't believe that you're a son of God, you don't really know who you are, then how can you explain to anyone who Jesus is if you don't even know who you are? Figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
So you really, you know, if you're a Christian, you really got to know it. Amen?
Amen?
you've got to know that all spiritual gifts and everything that is available that God has been poured into you. Now, where is that in the Bible? It's in the next voice. Okay? Okay, go ahead and read.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual...
Who has blessed us with all spiritual what?
Blessings.
All spiritual blessings are in us. And if you don't realize that, then a lot of times you'll probably be depressed. He's done what? Read that again.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual...
Who has already blessed us. It's not who is going to, but he already has blessed us with all what?
Spiritual blessings.
All spiritual blessings. So it doesn't really make any difference. It doesn't say all worldly blessings. Amen?
Amen.
But spiritual blessings, because that's where the bottom line is. And now, it doesn't make any difference. You know, like if you die, or if your human body dies, your spirit goes up to the kingdom of heaven. And the only thing that you're going to be concerned about is not that wart that you left behind. No, you're not really going to be concerned about that, because that is just a casing for you with the Spirit of the Lord to walk around in. You've got to know that that is the most important thing in the whole world, because the real you, the Spirit, is gone and has left that body. And the Lord says he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Amen?
Amen.
All? But that's why I say a lot of Christians don't realize who they are, and they don't realize what's in them already. And so when people come to the reality of who they are, now God, the Father, revealed to Peter who Jesus was. Amen?
Amen.
Now what the Lord is trying to do through me and through his word is to let you know who you are. Amen?
Amen.
So that you can know who you are like Jesus knew who he was. Amen?
Amen.
And how Peter was able to tell Jesus who he was. Jesus already knew who he was, but Jesus said, the Father showed you who I was. Amen?
Amen.
Who I am. Who I really am. I was always. I am always. Amen?
Amen.
And so now, like I said, when people are speaking to you about the Lord, that isn't this husk out here, this me that's going to have to die one of these days, but it's the Spirit within me that's telling you who you are. Because the things I'm saying agree with that which is in the Bible. And the Lord said that the Bible, the words of God, are spirit and are life. Amen?
Amen.
So you are the epitome of anything that could ever be, because you're one with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If you're really the Spirit, all the spiritual blessings there have been given to us already. So you don't need to ask for more spiritual blessings, because we already have them. It's a past tense. Amen?
Amen.
Just like we already have salvation, we already have healing, and all spiritual blessings. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, people say, oh, God, give me more spiritual blessings. He says, he has already given them to you. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to have the faith to believe that you have them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, if you could just remember that, then you could go forth as Jesus did and say, Lazarus, come forth. All right, because the Lord has given us the power to be able to cast demons out and to raise the dead. It says that in the 10th chapter of Matthew and other places as well. Amen?
Amen.
He says, now the Lord says, commands you, go forth now and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, touch the blind eyes and they shall see. Speak the word and raise the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now if you don't remember who you are, then how are you going to tell people who Jesus is? If Jesus is really in you, you've got to be able to communicate that to people. Amen?
Amen.
I think that's an important message. Amen? It's a powerful message, too. And it's right there in the Bible. So read that again. That's important.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
With all spiritual blessings. So what need spiritually do you have?
None.
None. That's right. All you need to do is follow the word that says to read the word constantly to remind you that you have all the spiritual blessings. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Okay, now what are spiritual blessings?
Salvation.
Salvation. Healing. Amen? Healing for your soul as well. Power, living, God living inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
The power to be able to cast out devils. You've already been healed. That's a done deal also, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And you can raise the dead. You've been raised from the dead, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Your dead spirit is now risen from the dead, and then the Lord poured all spiritual blessings into you. And I could go on and on a lot longer on that, but like I'm been commissioned by the Lord to do chapter 13 here of Judges. And I want to do some more on this because this is a very important subject. Amen?
Amen.
I'll just read a couple more verses. I love this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It says has. Amen?
Amen.
By my stripes you are going to be healed?
No.
What?
Are healed.
You were healed. Amen? You were already healed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so all you got to know is remember who you are and what's been poured into you.
Yes.
Amen? If the Lord, wasn't true, then the Lord would never have said it. Amen. And neither would the Apostle Paul. He's given you eyes to see, ears to hear, nose to breathe. He's given you direction. He's given you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. All right. He leads, guides, and directs. He fights for us. Amen. That's a spiritual blessing. Amen.
Amen.
And he moves for us. He sends in finances. Aren't these blessings?
Yes.
He blesses the food so that you're not eating any poison. Even if you're eating something that you didn't know that was poisonous, it won't be poison anymore because you pray over it and ask the Lord to bless it. Amen?
Amen.
And make it to nourish you, not kill you. Amen. That doesn't mean that you can poison food and eat poison because then that's tempting the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
What the Lord does, if you pray, will cleanse it. Because that's part of the spiritual blessings that you have. Amen?
Because
the Lord wants you to hang around maybe for a while to use your body for Him to do a work in. And so you have to yield your members unto Him as a living sacrifice, the Bible says. Sacrificing yourself to let Him work in you with all the blessings that He's. Now, what could be more a bigger blessing than the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father by the Spirit living in you? There couldn't be anything more blessed than that, could there?
No.
And the Lord is everything, and so all, if the Lord is in you, then you've got everything in you.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And anything that God can do, you're able to do. Anything that Christ did, you're able to do. Because the same spirit that was in Him is in you. And He said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, then that same spirit will raise you from the dead on the last day. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord tells us that even greater works than He did will we do in these last days because of His Spirit in us. Not us, yet His Spirit living in our yielded bodies and our yielded spirits and our yielded minds to Him. Okay? So people just have to trust what's in you and trust what the Lord says. which means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so next phrase.
In heavenly places in Christ.
Oh, no, read the whole thing.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, so we're in Christ. And Christ is in us, amen?
Amen.
Now what could be more? The only thing that could be more is when we get rid of this cumbersome body of ours. And Paul stated that it was his loathsome body, his corrupt body. Of course, he didn't have a wonderful body like that. No, I'm just kidding. So Paul evidently despised his human body. But I'm glad that I have one so that the Lord can continue to do the work in me. Amen?
Amen.
And how about you?
Amen.
So you're wonderful too? Oh, no. Okay, what else?
Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him.
He has chosen us. He has chosen us in him. Then what?
Before the foundation of the world.
We were chosen even before the foundation of the world. God knew that we would say yes, Lord, and that we would appreciate that all spiritual blessings have been poured into us, and that we're one with God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, and that we are able to do all things in Christ. So, I mean, if you're suspicious of you not being able to raise the dead, then you're a doubter. You have to believe what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's this guy, his name was Wigglesworth. They were talking about him all the time. I've read his book where he'd lean corpses up against the wall and he'd say, "Live!" And then he'd let the guy go and he'd fall on the floor. He says, "I said live," and he's standing back up again and he'd fall, and finally the guy would come to life. He'd start sneezing and come to life. You got to read his book, Wigglesworth. That's his name. And he's a man who really believed the Lord. And I told you about the guy in I forget what country, Ethiopia or no, Afghanistan or someplace, where the guy was buried and he was rotting, his flesh was rotting, and the Lord was telling this man to dig him up, and that if he did, then he'd raise from the dead. He went through trials and tribulations to try to get it done through city government and all that, and finally they let him do it, and they had all the press there, and they dug him up, and flesh was hanging off him, he was half rotten, and the man was weeping that he said, "Thank God the Lord told me to do this." And he grabbed a hold of me and says, "Brother," he says, "raise up my brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the spirit of life entered into him and the flesh started coming together on him, and everyone in that whole country got saved. And the man came to our church in Saugus, California, and told that story. Is there anybody here? Come over here and just say, you were there that night when he came in? And he showed the headlines in the newspaper. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, that was one of the most, everybody in our church was weeping at the time. And everybody, these hardcore, callous reporters all got down on their hands and knees, and they were weeping and crying and saying, "Oh, Jesus, save my soul." The whole nation got saved. There wasn't anybody that didn't get saved.
Praise the Lord.
Just one miracle like that. Amen?
Amen?
And so never doubt that the Lord has given us the power to be believers. Come over here, Terry, and tell us. How long have you been in the church, Terry?
34 years.
And do you remember about how long ago it was when that man came in?
It was early Saugus.
Yeah.
It was early Saugus. And
he was a reporter, and he turned it to be an evangelist. He was going around to all churches just telling this miraculous story.
Yes, sir.
And he had the newspaper accounts and the records and all the pictures of the guy. He had pictures of it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I mean, that should just squelch any doubting Thomas. And then what else, Terry?
I remember that so well because I remember he had to go through such great... he knew the Lord specifically told him to do this, and he had such adversity in trying to do it, and people mocked him. They mocked him and made fun of him until the Lord told him to go to the press. And then the press put the pressure on the government because the press was making such a big deal out of it. They were making fun of him. The press had got a sensational story, and they were putting pressure on the government to give him the permit.
To make a fool out of him.
Right, to make a fool out of him. And by the time it was all over with, there was people from all over the world gathered around at this scene. He had to get all the right equipment from the health department. He had a special suit on and everything to wear, and they had to put special stuff all around the grave.
Yeah, lime and the asbestos suits and these spray things, you know, for disinfectants and stuff. Okay,
and then, and there was cameras just from all people from all over the world. And by the time they got everything situated and ready for him to go in, and all the people were all around, and he got his suit on, and they got the area prepared, and they pulled up the coffin, and they opened the coffin and what the remains of the cadaver, and he was praising and thanking the Lord and went in and wrapped his arms around his body and said whatever his name was, in the name of Jesus, raise up. And the man rose up, and the people hit the floor all around.
Yeah, they hit the dirt.
Amen.
They're groveling on the ground. And these people that were mocking them, because they wanted to put Christianity down to show what kind of nuts Christians were. Every one of them got saved. See, this is the power of God, because... Why should it seem a thing impossible that God should raise the dead? Amen?
Amen.
He's going to raise everybody from the dead on the last day. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible says. Okay, but this just seems too far-fetched. You can't underestimate God, and you can't figure him out with your natural brain. Just because this is like the Israelites that were in bondage for so many years, over around 400 years in Egypt, and they just felt like underdogs. They had inferiority complexes, and they couldn't imagine, you know, that God would rescue them, and that God for sure couldn't open the Red Sea and all this kind of stuff. When they saw it happen, that made them far more guilty than they would have been if he had never done anything like that, especially when they were saying that we want to go back to Egypt, to go back to bondage, because Moses didn't come down from the mount soon enough. And they didn't have garlic and onions to eat. You know, I mean, some people, you know, it's just unbelievable. Some people's kids. Mm-hmm. And they all had to die and go to hell. And no wonder. It's no wonder, man. If I was God, God has so much patience, you know, and so much mercy. Mm-hmm. But he only has it for a period of time, so don't push the envelope with God much longer. You know, you better get with it and know that he's given you all these spiritual blessings in you, and he's already done it. He's already given you the portion of faith. He's already given you salvation and healing and victory, and he's given you all kinds of prosperity. I mean, there's not one person in this church that has ever gone without meals or a roof over their head.
Amen.
You know, we've got it made.
Amen.
In the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's why Satan wants to destroy the Christian church, because it's such strong evidence of him, his actual being in us. And he wants us to be prosperous. And he not for to be able to do whatever we want, but to get the gospel out. And he wants us to be healthy, because we're no testimonies. That's why by his stripes we were healed. And he wants us to know who we are. He wants us to know who he is, and that he can't lie. And he says he's already poured his every spiritual blessing in the universe in us. Now have the faith. Use the faith. You have the faith already. Use it now to do what he said. All right? Remember this. This is a great tape here, you know, to remember this tape. You know, it's giving you the strength to stand another day. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not, well, you're really calloused. Okay, what else?
Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Yeah, that we should be holy and without blame in love. And love, you know, God's definition of love is the keeping of his commandments. And a lot of people say, well, if you don't keep his commandments, then all that power, the Lord doesn't live in a person that doesn't keep the commandments. He won't even give the Holy Spirit to you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unless you keep all the commandments. If you keep the commandments, I'll pour out the Holy Spirit on you. Amen?
Amen.
So some people say, well, I just don't have enough faith. You do have the portion of faith, and you just don't have the gumption. Sometimes your body gets tired, and so you let your spirit get tired and your mind get tired. And you let the enemy come in like a flood. And then you start getting shaky and you don't know whether you really want to go on. And, man, you know, you got to do all these different things out in the world. You got to satisfy your flesh all the any time you wanted to. But the kingdom of heaven is not about satisfying your flesh. It's to satisfy your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's no way that you can satisfy your flesh. The more you get of fleshly things, the more you want. And you never get satisfied. Ask me. I was experienced. I was out in the world until I was 30 years old. Until the Lord came and got me. And I got more and more bitter because I was very disappointed with that which was out in the world. And you know my testimony, and if you don't, you can always write in for it's called Dry Bones and Signs of the Times. All right, and but there isn't really anything hardly that I didn't do out there in that world, and lots of it, and pretty soon you just get disgusted with it because you see how flaky the world is, and the people that are of the world. They're flaky, aren't they?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, but the people of the Lord are the ones you can rely on.
Amen.
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 Okay, so let's continue on now with chapter 13 of Judges to continue the commentary.
We have to seek God to uncover the things that are weakness and ask him to remove them. And to be very careful when we see those flags go up that are stumbling blocks, to sidestep them just as a bullfighter.
Like you see these red flags go. If you read the Word of God, then you see, it says that you can't do this, and the red flag goes up, and you see that you do that. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and they lie every day of their life, several times a day, and they don't have faith to continue doing what the Lord wants them to do. They leave the service and they're the same person they were before they came to the service. But the Bible says in the book of James that we're to read, look into the mirror, which is the Word of God, to see if the Word is reflecting us. The Lord showed me a mirror of him sitting in there, and he was saying, hey, there's something wrong with you. He said, no, not now. You can't come now. Because I wasn't doing all the things that the Lord wanted me to do. Now, he loved me. I could tell that he knew me better than anybody in the world. And he knew my faults, but yet he still cared about me a lot. And he was saying, letting me know that you're not restudying me. You're not really believing me as much as you should. You're not believing that this is spirit and life, this word. And that this is the thing that you've got to do in order to get ready to, when I appear again to you, to come up here with me. So he's given me a space of time to read the Word, and he wants me to get the Word out to others. And that's what he wants you to do. All right? Now, blessed is a person that has not seen these as many visions as I have, and yet has does what the Lord says. So people that believe are more blessed than I am, because I have seen so many visions from the Lord and have had very, very vivid spiritual dream visions. And so I've seen a lot of what the Lord really wants me to do and needs me to do, and he's warned me time after time. And some people say, oh, you're such a great Christian. Well, the Lord has rebuked me so many times. Anyone that tells you that they're another David and all this kind of stuff and is exalting themselves to the skies, I don't believe those kind of people at all, okay? I'm just puffed up toad, Reverend Falwell, you know. I'm the most popular person in the world. Oh my God. As if we were speaking to Christ himself, or second in command. Okay, then what?
When we see those flags go up that are stumbling blocks, to sidestep them, just like a bullfighter steps aside a bull when it's rushing at him.
Okay, yeah, that was commentary that I did a few months ago. Now, this next one here.
Judges chapter 13, verse 1. The Philistines lived on the west side of Canaan, along the Mediterranean sea coast. From Samson's day until the time of David, they were the major enemy force in the land and a constant threat to Israel. The Philistines were fierce warriors. They had the advantage over Israel in numbers, practical experience, and the technology. They knew the secret of making weapons out of iron. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 9 through 22. But none of that mattered when God was fighting for Israel. Once again, the cycle of sin, judgment, and repentance began. Chapter 8.
That happens 7 or 8 times in the book of Judges, one time after the other. Israel sinned, and then a bunch of them got slaughtered, and they got put under the hand of oppressors, and then they finally wised up and started crying out to God. Then God came and rescued them. And it's just a repeat performance over and over in the book of Judges. Okay, then what?
Chapter 8, verses 9 and 14 through 15. And chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Chapter 10, verse 6. And chapter 11, verse 11. The Israelites would not turn to God unless they had been stunned by suffering, oppression, and death. This suffering was not caused by God, but resulted from the fact that the people ignored God.
Yeah, so when you ignore God, well, then God has an automatic switch that goes on, and the wrath starts coming down. So it is done by God, really, but God didn't do it on purpose if they were doing the will of God. Okay, he does that to chasten you, and in hopes that you'll wake up and get back to him, because we can't do anything, and you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you're serving the Lord.
Amen.
That's what he calls you for, is to serve him, not yourself.
Amen.
Okay, you have to be a pile of burnt ashes, a nothing. Because we're nothing unless, without him, we're nothing.
Amen.
Okay? Rejects. Then what?
His suffering was not caused by God, but resulted from the fact that the people ignored God, their judge and ruler. God has to move because it's his word.
Well, he has to move. It's his word. Amen?
Amen.
You can't go against his word. And his word says if you don't stay in the Spirit, you're going to wind up in the hell and the lake of fire. And so he can't go back on his word. Then he wouldn't be God. The whole universe is stuck together, glued together by his word. The world revolves because of his word. And the sun comes up and goes down, raises up and sets at his word. And the moon and the stars, everything is like in order because of his word. And he's not going to change his word to satisfy your wanton mind and spirit. You have to do what he says.
All right, then what?
What will it take for you to follow God? The warnings in God's word are clear. If we continue to harden our hearts against him, we can expect the same fate as Israel. Chapter 13, verse 5. Samson was to be a Nazarite, a person who took a vow to be set apart for God's service. Samson's parents made the vow for him. A Nazarite vow was sometimes temporary, but in Samson's case, it was for life. As a Nazarite, Samson could not cut his hair, touch a dead body, or drink anything containing alcohol. From the vine, although Samson often used poor judgment and sinned terribly, he accomplished much when he determined to be set apart for God. In this way, he was like the nation of Israel. As long as the Israelites remained set apart for God, the nation thrived. They fell into terrible sin when they ignored God, but God said, if you ignore him, he'll tear you to pieces. 13, verse 5.
It's a promise? Mm-hmm. And what?
Manoah's wife was told that her son would begin the deliverance of Israel from Philistine oppression. It wasn't until David's day that the Philistines' oppression was completely crushed. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. Samson's part in subduing the Philistines was just the beginning, but it was important nonetheless. It was the task God had given Samson to do. Be faithful in following God, even if you don't see instant results, because you might be beginning an important job that others will finish.
Yeah, just because you can't see God
doesn't mean that he's not there, because everything that you can see was made by the invisible God. Amen?
Amen.
Just because you can't see him, you should be able to see him in every human being that you see, because we're made in the image and likeness of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so he wants us to be like him, holy and without blame, pure, perfect, walking in the Spirit. Then what?
Chapter 13, verse 18. Why did the angel keep his name a secret? In those days, people believed that if they knew someone's name, they knew his character and how to control him. By not giving his name, the angel was not allowing himself to be controlled by Manoah. He is also saying that his name was a mystery beyond understanding and too wonderful to imagine. Manoah asked the angel for an answer that he wouldn't have understood. Sometimes we ask God questions, then receive no answer. This may not be because God is saying no. We may have asked for knowledge beyond our ability to understand or accept.
And you're asking for knowledge without backing it up with reading the Bible. Don't ask for knowledge and then not read the Bible, because knowledge and the fear of the Lord comes from reading the Bible and the Spirit in you. So if you want knowledge, it's there. The Bible says, seek the Lord and he'll be found by you. You'll find out what you want to know. All right, then what?
Chapter 13, verse 19. Manoah sacrificed a grain offering to the Lord. A grain offering was grain, oil, and flour shaped into a cake and burned on the altar, along with the burnt offering, the young goat. The grain offering described in Leviticus chapter 2 was offered to God as a sign of honor, respect, and worship. It was an acknowledgment that because the Israelites' food came from God, they owed their lives to him. With the grain offering, Manoah showed his desire to serve him. The grain offering showed his desire towards God and demonstrated his respect. Chapter 13, verse 25. Samson's tribe, Dan, continued to wander in the land. Chapter 18, verse 1, which was yet unconquered. Joshua chapter 19, verses 47 through 48. Samson must have grown up with his warlike tribes yearning to permanently set a territory. Thus, his visits to the tribal army camps stirred his heart, and God's Spirit began preparing him for his role as judge and leader against the Philistines.
Yeah. This reminds me of the Spirit. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, whoever the Spirit touches, they live. Amen?
Amen.
Whoever the Spirit touches lives. So let the Spirit touch you so that you can live. Whoever the Spirit touches is healed. They have life. Life is the opposite of sickness and death. Amen?
Amen.
So let the Spirit touch you so that you can live. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever the Spirit touches, the Holy Spirit, it lives. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Perhaps there are things that stir your heart. These may indicate areas where God wants to use you. God uses a variety of means to develop and prepare us. Hereditary traits, environmental influences, and personal experiences. As with Samson...
Yeah, because we inherit things. They're hereditary. Amen. Hereditary things, is that what I said?
Traits.
We all inherit traits. People sometimes look like their mothers, or they look like their fathers, or they have the same way of expressing themselves and all that. So you inherit a lot of things. It's in the genes, so to speak. Okay, then what? So read from there.
Environmental influences and personal experiences.
Environmental influences, just like I said, God creates environments tailor-made for you to live in so that you can get shaped up into the way that the Lord wants you to be. Yeah. He'll agitate you. I mean, put you around people that are most irritating things. And I guess, you know, the Lord, I can testify to that one for sure. Because there's a lot of times, you know, the Lord puts you around people that just, you have to kind of bite your tongue sometimes, and sometimes you have to rebuke them and refute them, especially as a pastor. But you can't throw them away sometimes. You can't throw them out. And many times, you know, I'd love to just, you know, push some people out the door, but the Lord won't let me do it. I can't put people out who I don't, that He won't let me put out. People have to be, I know the ones that have to be put out and the ones that I have to keep around to irritate me some more. All right, then what? And I suppose I irritate them too. It's like flint against flint. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And then what else? Or iron against iron. Then what? We need each other. Okay, then what?
Environmental influences and personal experiences. As with Samson, this preparation often begins long before adulthood. Work at being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and the task God has prepared for you. Your past may be more useful to you than you imagined.
Okay, and I was talking about how that, you know, if we don't know the power of God that's in us and all the spiritual blessings that are in us, then how can we possibly tell people about Jesus? And that's what He's called us to do. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to know who we are and what's in us in order for us to be able to project that which is in us to others about Jesus. And there's a scripture that Sister Michelle found, and I knew about it. I was. This is one of the scriptures that I was going to bring when I was not doing the 13th chapter of Judges. But go ahead and read it into the tape here. That is saying the very same thing what I was saying. Okay, go ahead.
Romans chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy faith...
The communication of your faith. We have to communicate our faith to the world by doing the things that the Lord says to do. Then what?
May become effectual.
And because it becomes effectual, then what?
By the acknowledging of every good thing.
By the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in us. We have to first, before we can be effective, we have to acknowledge all the spiritual blessings
and all the spiritual blessings that are in us. We have to acknowledge that first. And then what else? We have to know it, in other words.
Which is in you, in Christ Jesus.
Which is in us, in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, this is your pastor, Tony Alamo, and you just heard Judges chapter 13 with the 25 verses and a lot of commentary here and there. Amen?
Amen.
It's a pretty long tape. But anyway, I pray that I'm sure it has helped you a lot. I mean, it's strengthened you for another day. But don't think, you know, don't get really puffed up because you're strong for today, because tomorrow you're going to need to be built up again. Thus saith the Lord. Okay?
Amen.
Don't forget, even tonight you got to be built up again. Because we're pouring ourselves out all day long. And we're being hit abrasively from not only the people that are around us, but the whole world. And the world is coming to an end very soon. And if you think this situation over in Indonesia is bad, the best is yet to come. God promises much more than that. Okay, and it's not coming from Mother Nature. There's no such thing. It's coming from God, and He brags about it in His Word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Meditate in these things that you've heard today and continue reading your Bible. Read it later on today. Meditate day and night in it, and you'll be just like a tree planted by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Until chapter 14, God bless you and praise the Lord.
Amen.